Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Hey, buddy! Hey, buddy! We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get
BB!
NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It is a joy to talk to Mike Florio. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Morning, I am doing great. How are you guys today?
We're all fired up, you know. Once you start getting those 40 times in, it just puts you into a different...
Running in a straight line with no pads on. Let me tell you, it's very rare in a football game that a guy has to run 40 yards in a straight line anyway. It's usually when something very good or very bad has happened. It's extremely rare for their pads, their pants, and their helmets to fly off of them so they can run 40 yards the same way they ran it at the combine.
But, Mike, it's very common for people to jump all over these times and to define guys and prospects by what they run. And so yesterday, who do you think helped himself the most?
Well, I mean, Henry Ruggs runs the 4.27 in the 40, which he was expected to be the fastest guy at the combine. He was the betting favorite. Yes, you can bet on that now along with everything else. But you know, it's funny, and we talked about this earlier today on PFT Live. The graphic of the guys who have run the fastest 40 at the receiver position over the past 16, 17 years, it's a bunch of nobodies. Like, you don't want to be the fastest 40-yard dash. John Ross is the only one where the jury's still out on what he's going to be. And actually, he ran just fast enough to be the last guy drafted before Patrick Mahomes in 2017. If he's a little bit slower, maybe the Bengals take Mahomes, and maybe even the Bengals can't keep Mahomes from becoming as great as he was going to be. So running fast in a straight line, it's more relevant for receivers and defensive backs because they're more likely to show that flat-out top-end speed than other positions. So I think Ruggs with that 4.27. I mean, 4.27 is blazing fast, and every team needs a guy who can stretch the field that way because it opens up the rest of the offense. And Ruggs is going to be that guy for somebody.
You know, that's a huge story. Just looking at the depth of that class, and it's a huge story to look at all the possibilities with free agent quarterbacks. But maybe the biggest story out of Indy is this labor piece and the idea, and DeMora Smith said it yesterday, that this is going to pass, that the rank and file, maybe the stars are upset, but the rank and file is going to be happy to make more money and to have more jobs. And, you know, the league is interested in getting their television deals done, and it seems like there's great momentum to this now.
That's the important thing to remember from the league's perspective and the union's perspective. For the union, there are two deals to think about. The agreement with the league that determines how much of the pie the players will get, and the deal between the league and the networks that determines how big the pie is going to be. And the league is concerned. And see, when I say this, people think, oh, you're just carrying the NFL's water. I can tell you, at the very top of the NFLPA, Executive Director DeMora Smith believes this as well. So there is some agreement here between league and union that now is the time to maximize the pie of money that will come from the networks. They're concerned, rightfully so, that the presidential election is going to take a bite out of the ratings. So you're operating not from the same position of strength you're operating from now, given that the ratings have rebounded in 2018 and 2019 over what they were in 2016 and 2017. And if the economy slows, and we've seen the brakes be applied unexpectedly this week due to the coronavirus, but they're expecting a recession anyway within the next year or so, that reduces the budgets available to these networks. I mean, we're talking about potentially monstrous increases. I'm told that a minimum 75% increase in the TV money is what the league expects. $100 million per team per year, minimum. And that is huge, huge money. So the question is, if you're the union, well, okay, we fight and fight and fight, and maybe we get a bigger piece of the pie. The problem is the pie is not going to be as big. And there's also a concern, and I think this is a fair concern. If the league loses money, if the whole operation sees the pie shrink, the owners are more likely to take that money out of the pockets of the players because they know if push comes to shove, lockout, strike, it's not going to work. When the nuclear option in this union environment doesn't work for the labor force, then the emergency option for the owners is to threaten them with it. And we know from experience, the 87 strike and the 2011 lockout, the players don't want to miss games and they don't want to miss game checks.
Mike, most of the publicized pushback has been around the 17-game schedule, the addition of one game. And I think that there will be adjustments and tweaks to the schedule to kind of create more lag time at the end of training camp and then the bye week during the season. How legitimate do you think those concerns about health and safety for the players are?
Well, I think that to a certain extent, and someone explained this to me several weeks ago when the union was first beginning to encounter unexpected pushback from the players, that the game has become a victim of its own success when it comes to making the game safer. The effort to make everyone sensitive to player health and safety has created a greater sensitivity to player health and safety. So that becomes the instant reaction to the prospect of playing another game that counts. Now, what we need to consider, and I'm not saying, I mean, obviously, when you increase by 6% the total number of live reps in games that count, you are going to increase the opportunities for players to get injured. But when you look at how the game has changed, when you look at how training camp has changed, the number of padded practices, the reduction in the offseason program, the changes made to the way guys hit each other during the games. There are plenty of old games from the 80s and 90s and last decade on YouTube. The brutality is stunning in comparison. Somebody shared a clip with me of Mel Blunt pile driving Cliff Branch into the ground in a game in the 70s. And more stunning than that was the fact that the official walks right into the frame right after it happens as nonchalant as if it was a guy taking a knee. Like, we didn't even react to that kind of brutality. It was so commonplace. The game has become so much safer. So the broader question is, from an empirical standpoint, can you take the overall increase in safety, and can you throw that into some sort of an equation or formula and add an extra game to it and come to the conclusion that overall the game is still far safer than it was back in those days of the 80s and 90s? And I think the answer is yes. The question is that safe enough? And that's really the key. And that's where the players are pushing back. And let me tell you this. If the deal gets rejected, and if the predominant theme is it's rejected because players don't want to play 17 games, then they need to get a new executive director. And the executive director needs to get a new client, because they negotiated for 10 months as a union on the premise of 17 games. So if 17 games is a non-starter, then they should have said to the league last year when this process began, we will not negotiate on anything other than a 16-game season. And if you don't like it, lock us out in 2021.
Mike, if you're at 17 games, that obviously means that you're going to do 9 home games, 8 away games, and you're going to then the other teams, you'll do that, you'll transfer that from year to year. 16 teams will get it 1 year, and then the other 16 will get it the next year.
But some of the home teams are going to have that extra home game become a neutral site game.
Right. So is there an inevitability if you go to 17 that you're going to wind up with 18, or do you make one neutral site game for everyone? How do you handle that sort of? And if we see at the end of a 3 or 4 year period that the team with the home schedule is the one that's winning all the time and has, you know, the bye going into the playoffs, has the home game in the playoffs. Will that change anything?
I think eventually, if you're going to have 17 games, and it will be until the end of the decade, you would like to have all 16 of those extra games from the 17th week be neutral site games. The problem is they're not ready to have 16 neutral site games. I mean, that's a lot of neutral site games. So where do you play them all? How many does London get? How many does Mexico City get? Do you play a game at South Bend? Do you play a game at Happy Valley when it's the Steelers versus the Eagles once every 4 years? I mean, there's different things you can do, but the problem is you got to be able to outfit the stadium with all the technology, specifically the pipeline that allows for real-time communication with New York. So that gets expensive. But I think that 17 is a stopover to 18 in the same way that 14 playoff teams is a stopover to 16. I think the league wants 18, but they know they can never sell 16 to 18 directly. And it was last July, and because I've been saying for a while, I prefer 17 to 18. It was last July when Mark Murphy, the Packers CEO, spoke at the annual shareholders meeting, and I got him on the phone afterward because he said some stuff about 17 games, and I wanted to clarify what he was thinking. And that's really when 17 started to seriously take root as the end result. The owners wanted 18, and they backed off to 17 with three preseason games. And some people want two buys. My understanding from talking to Murphy last year, the networks don't want two buys because if you start having a second buy, you dilute the quality of the week-in and week-out schedule by giving more teams that second weekend off. So it's going to be 17 games, one bye, and when they move to 18 games, probably 10 years from now, that's when it pushes the Super Bowl right up to President's Day weekend. That's where they've wanted to be. We start right after Labor Day, take it right to President's Day weekend, and they, you know, you get the Monday off. Everybody wants that Monday off. Right. People are going to complain. We don't want more playoff teams. We don't want more regular season games. When they realize Super Bowl Sunday is going to be on President's Day weekend, that's when I think the complaints are going to go in the other direction.
Back to the combine and the draft before we let you go, Mike. So we had a little bit of a debate this morning. If the Detroit Lions are sitting there at 3 and Tua is on the board, and we know the realities of Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn having to win now, would they draft a quarterback that might have to, they can't play until later? Would they draft a quarterback in Tua that might be a guy worth redshirting just because he's the best player on the board, or would they pass on him for somebody that they could plug in more immediately?
Yeah, I think that when you consider what the mandate is from Martha Firestone Ford, and it seems to be when she said she's going to keep these guys, they need to win now, you want an impact player in that spot. And ideally, you trade out of that spot and you get multiple opportunities to get impact players because we know it's, in the end, a crapshoot. If you can leverage that one pick into 4, 5, 6 others that you use this year, it's 4, 5, 6 chances of getting guys who can come in and help you. So it doesn't make sense to me. But I saw the Vegas odds last week as to who's going to take Tua, and the Dolphins and the Lions were the co-favorites at like minus 175 or something like that, bet 175 to win 100. It's like Vegas knows something about Detroit that I don't, because it doesn't make sense. And if they're going to do it, the owner had better be on board with what's going on and understand that taking Tua does infringe upon their ability to win this year, because it's a guy who's going to be on the bench. Unless there is something to this Matthew Stafford trade talk, although both Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia said this week in Indy that there's nothing to it, that Quinn has told Stafford he's not going anywhere, and Patricia called the talk of a Matthew Stafford trade comical.
Great stuff, Mike, as always. Really appreciate your time. Thanks,
all right,
Mike.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.